to I'm Trying to Think, episode 21. That is Think About It by Lynn Collins. You might have thought there for a bit that it was It Takes Two by Rob Bass and DJ...
DJ the other guy.
DJ...
DJ, come on. I'm a fucking music nerd, but I'm not going to know Rob Bass' DJ's name. DJ
Easy Rock.
Fuck you.
Easy Rock. Well, I looked it up, so don't even...
Yeah, that's why I'm swearing at you. Yeah. If you were just able to pull it, I'd be impressed.
Yeah.
But I know you're in front of the computer. I know what you're doing.
Exactly.
Like, if you had that off your head, I'd be like, damn, okay, you're a big enough nerd
Hold on.
Yeah, you gotta intro.
Hold on one second. I'm Trying to Think is a podcast sponsored by the Foundation Institute. You can find them on the web at foundation-institute.org. You can find I'm Trying to Think on the web at imtryingtothink.com. You can find us on Twitter at twitter.com/imtryingtothink. And you can friend us on Facebook or fan us on Facebook or do some other stuff on Facebook. You can post nasty things about us on Facebook. We don't care. We like the publicity. If you want to fan us, though, you can just search Facebook for I'm Trying to Think. And this is episode 21. The big blackjack number, Dave.
Ah, yeah.
Are you feeling lucky?
I don't know. Did we win?
I won something.
Man, I ain't won a damn thing. I'm jealous.
I won Podcaster of the Year.
Man, I got screwed.
Yeah, you did. Well, you should have sucked up to the committee a little more.
Ugh.
It's a Podcaster of the Year award from the Podcasting from My Living Room Awards Committee.
Oh, man, have you told them that we podcast from a dining room?
God damn it, Dave. What are you fucking... You're going to screw me out of this award.
Well, if I ain't getting
it... You're going to take
it back. God damn if you're getting it, man.
Oh, my God. Also, this is not my dining room right now. This is our lovely...
These are the luxurious Werner Studios.
Pittsburgh Studios, yeah. The Werner Studios, alternately.
We've called them many things.
Yeah, I mean, it's a... we go to a faraway place when we enter the podcasting world.
It's studio of many names.
Yeah, it doesn't need a steady name. That sort of thing is part of the illusion created by the patriarchy. They want you to steadily name things, Dave, but we're breaking that.
I feel like you've taken some steps there.
We're entering a creative space.
Oh, that's good. I like creative spaces.
Okay, well.
Because you made some leaps. I didn't know how they were, but no, now that I'm in this space,
I want you to feel the volume of the studio.
It's
voluminous.
233 quarts.
I try not to think of it in the patriarchal numbers. I think it's more in the flakinky globillion slamorphons. You see what I mean?
That is a creative space.
Just, there's flow.
You've gotten into a very creative space.
That's my creative space.
Honestly, I think you may be getting too creative in that... Me and the listeners are not going to understand a good goddamn of what, like, anything you're saying.
That's creativity, man.
So I'm going to bring you down to earth. I got a correction to make, and I got some bad news.
No, it's not a correction so much. It's just plain old bad news.
Yeah.
At the time that we made the last podcast, this was true.
Yeah, but even before we'd put it out, to the listeners.
Yes.
Steven Tyler has no longer technically quit Aerosmith.
Yeah, they've, I don't know, figured out their differences.
I don't know. It sounded like
Joe Perry's like, hey, you're shitty, I'm shitty.
Let's keep making
shitty music together.
Because we make a lot of money.
Yeah.
Seemed like Steven Tyler might be taking a couple years off touring or something, so your local hockey rink might be safe. But they are still a band and together as an entity. So, our greatest regrets for... I don't have any regrets about us saying. I just regret that that's true.
Yeah,
I regret that
it's true.
Yeah, we deeply regret Aerosmith.
We are very sorry that Aerosmith is still going to be together. We apologize to you, the listener.
It's not our fault, but we feel bad.
It's not our fault directly, but we could have done something about it, and we didn't.
We had the opportunity. We had the means.
We had the shot. I mean, we had the, you know, opportunity, like you said. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And we didn't take it.
Mistakes were made.
Yeah. Well, you know. Yeah. It's not over yet, Dave.
That reminds me. It's like,
we could still win the battle.
I'll say that reminds me. The holiday season's coming up. We need to make that bodyguard some Christmas cards again.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a shame.
Well, his family. We need to make his family needs
Christmas
cards.
Yeah, I mean, he can't read them anymore. Not in that state. We're dwelling on bad things here, Dave. Let's move on to something
positive. Yeah, the whole Aerosmith thing takes us to a bad headspace.
Do you have any good news?
Bad memories.
Do you have any good news? No, you don't.
No. This is all starting on just a grim note. Is there any good news in these troubled times in which we live?
No. No, I have a funny new saying that I invented.
Do you?
Yeah.
Maybe that will cheer us up in our dark moments.
It's pretty...
I mean, the holiday season's coming up. Thanksgiving, Christmas. So it's clearly a time for dark moments and grim podcasts.
And this is kind of a holiday season... saying that I've created. It'll go good at family gatherings and the like. I get asked a lot, because I'm a newlywed, you know, hey, how's your wife? How's the marriage going? How is the married life? Things like that. And I want to answer that question.
Aren't there joke books that give you a bunch of answers to that question, like from the 1940s that you're supposed to use?
No. No, it's not good enough. I really want to answer that question in the most inappropriate way possible. So I've come up with the answer. And as it turns out, it is something you can use in almost any setting.
Is it the phrase fucking like crazy?
No, but it's close. So Dave, ask me how the married life is.
All right. So Chuck, now you've been married recently, you know, coming up on a year. How's the married life treating you?
I'm 3 dicks deep in that shit.
That raises several questions.
It's perfect for so many reasons. And also, my 1-year anniversary was Halloween, so it's already over.
Yeah,
missed it. But anyway.
No, I said it had been over. Did I say it was almost?
You said it was approaching, I think. Oh. Well, regardless.
If I said approaching, I meant...
I'm not really that offended. I was just clarifying.
It approached from the behind. It snuck up on us.
So, but it could be used for anything. I mean, yeah. Ask me how I'm enjoying Dragon Age video game.
Okay. How are you enjoying the Dragon Age video game?
I'm 3 dicks deep in that shit.
Man, how are you enjoying this hole that's about 4 dicks deep?
I'm 3 dicks deep in that shit.
That doesn't sound adequate, honestly.
Shut up. It's good enough. That's a C. That's a C plus maybe. Some scales. That's not bad at all.
Maybe with a curve.
With a curve actually. I think it's more, you know, I'm more in the A range, honestly, if you curve it.
Honestly, but. that might, I'm not sure what we're talking about exactly with this curve thing, but that might be more information than I need to know.
Well, you know. 3 dicks deep in that shit.
Lefty, righty?
I've never done the holding a protractor up to my crotch.
Is that
a
thing?
So I can't really tell you.
Is that a thing that people
do? I'd have
to
assume. How do you know otherwise? And what's natural? How should you be sitting? Should you be standing?
I mean, I've heard, you know, part of that, like, sort of teenager obsession with a dick. Like, I've heard tell of, you know, people with a ruler. But I've not heard people whipping out the rest of the little plastic things you get in your buy the year before you take like 10th grade geometry or whatever. Do people do like the protractor? Then do they see if it's a perfect circle with a compass?
Oh,
like,
I wouldn't use a compass.
That just sounds like nothing but
the
pain.
The protractor, I think, has to be used if you're going to determine angle. How else? What other instrument do you have?
Yeah, I guess protractor is going to be best for that. Maybe
you
a laser.
Know.
Maybe a laser level.
Oh, a laser level. Well, that's new. You know, I mean, when I was young. They didn't have laser levels. But
also,
now
I'm just
going
to say, kind of advantage to that with a laser level is you get to sort of thrust your crotch around going, pew, pew.
And you got a laser in your crotch. That's nice. Laser crotch.
Exactly.
That's the new movie that's going to be released next year. Michael Bay film. In a world where crotches have lasers, pew, 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 pew. Laser crotch. Coming summer 2010.
I know, that sounds compelling, but I'm not going to lie. I've been burned badly by lasers in films before. That was a completely unintentional pun, but I'm just saying I've been disappointed. I've been disappointed by film lasers
before. I have to tell you something. Laser Floyd does not count as a movie, just so you know.
I've actually never seen Laser Floyd. I've been to Laser Zeppelin.
Oh, well, Laser Zeppelin's superior.
Laser Zeppelin was fucking sweet.
Yeah.
But
lasers? Zeppelin?
Yeah, what more do you need? No, I can actually tell
what
you.
What would be the triumvirate there? What would you
Who's
add?
The third?
So you have Zeppelin and lasers. What would be the third that would make it sort of the ultimate triumvirate?
A doob. I'm going to say a doob.
A doob is, you know, it's almost too easy.
You know, though, here's the thing.
I was thinking something like a half gallon of ice cream.
Ooh, that would be tasty.
Yeah, that's good.
But here's the thing, though, about the doob thing.
Yeah.
On one hand, it's very, very obvious.
I'm
not going to disagree with you on that. But sometimes the answer is so obvious because it's right.
Yeah, I mean.
And also, let me be frank. If you have an evening that, you know, okay, Laser Zeppelin's going to be about 12, right? Laser Zeppelin's a midnight show, probably.
Don't look at me. I've never been to Laser nothing.
Okay, I'm pretty sure Laser Zeppelin was a midnight show, and if not, it should be. So I'm just saying, if you have, you know, Laser, Zeppelin, and a doob, and that's, you know, at midnight, the show goes maybe, you know, midnight to 1 or something.
Right.
At 1:30, you're probably tucking into a gallon of ice cream.
Okay. Yeah. You know. I feign ignorance. Actually, I don't feign ignorance. I am ignorant.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying in terms of, you know, humorous stereotypes about marijuana that are true, you know, eating things that are bad for you. Yeah, that happens. That's a thing.
I've bought
food that was, you know, that is appalling to me to even consider now.
That's a good, looking back, it's a good thing that I never engaged in the dubiosity.
Yeah,
I've stayed away from marijuana. I would weigh another 100 pounds.
I know. I feel the same way about, like, why in my childhood, for some reason, I just never got around to drinking soda.
Yeah.
I'd be, like, a severe...
You'd be a severe diabetic fatty.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm borderline.
Yeah, I'd be rolling down. I would be a perfect sphere, a frictionless mass. I don't know. Now I'm just getting into physics crap, but I would be fat, is the point.
Yeah, fatties are fat. All right, well... anything else you want to say before we take a little break here?
Wait, yes, actually. Because before we went on the Laser Zeppelin detour...
You did.
I just remembered, and it was going to narrow whether I was actually going to remember this or whether we were just going to cut the segment and go to, you know, our first break. But I do want to get this out, because this still kind of cheeses me off a little bit.
All right.
Disappointing lasers in film.
Right.
Okay. So, the first Resident Evil movie.
Okay.
Certainly not a good film.
No.
But the first time, when I was watching it, you know, whatever, it was in, you know, it was on a small TV in, you know, my college dorm, you know, freshman, like, year, you know, in a lounge. So, you know, whatever.
Let's say all this is true.
Yeah, it is. I have no documentation, though. So you'll just have to take it on faith.
I'm taking it on trust, Dave.
It on trust. But anyhow, so, you know, I do not have particularly high expectations. But, you know, I've actually never played any of the Resident Evil games, oddly enough.
I played the first one. I don't remember any lasers.
But, yeah, exactly. Here's the thing. So what I'm expecting is, you know, okay, so there's going to be people. Zombies are going to eat them up. I can watch that, right?
Yeah.
And spoilers, by the way, for the first, like, 20 minutes of Resident Evil. But if you care about that, then go to hell. So, anyhow, turns out, you know, so there's a crack team of commandos. Basically, it's kind of ripping off Aliens more than actual Resident Evil, the video game at first.
Yeah.
So, you know, crack team of commandos, they're going into a facility or whatever, and most of them get killed
by a laser.
By a room full of lasers.
Yeah.
What the fuck? That ain't zombies.
If I wanted to
watch people get killed by like a laser room of traps, I'd have put on Cube.
Well,
and enjoy
it. Trying to, you know, jolt your expectations, give you a little thrill with lasers.
Lasers ain't no thrill.
Oh, well.
Unless it's laser crotch.
Lasers.
You know, that's
laser,
pretty thrilling.
Laser crotch.
Pew! Pew!
All right, well, thank you for your wonderful engagement there, Dave, into the world of laser films. But
you think
we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Think that your mind gonna let yourself be free. Let's go back, way on the way back when. I didn't even know you could.
shouldn't have been too much one time. Just time. I ain't no psychiatrist, I ain't no doctor with degrees, but it don't take too much time.
So I don't know, that was enough looking at Aaron Rodgers for like 20 seconds. I mean, I'm done. He's got that like dirty mustache.
Wait. Yeah, I mean, if you want
to... Oh, sorry. Welcome back to episode 21 of I'm Trying to Think. I'm Chuck Warner, and with me as always is my co-host Dave Stern, which we did not say at the top of the show, Dave.
I think people know I'm here, though. I make my presence known.
No, they didn't know our names. Like, who are these guys?
All right, well, hey, folks, I'm Dave. I'm here.
All right, then. Dave.
Yeah.
It's November 14th, 2009.
Yep.
The world ends December 21st, 2012.
Something like that. I don't know.
21st.
I don't pay that much attention to the calendar of things that are wrong.
Well, regardless, this week on Friday, I think, the 2012 movie opened.
Roland Emmerich is striking another blow in his war against landmarks.
Well, I mean, good for him, because I don't like them either. In movies, at least. I like for them to blow up in movies.
You don't hate them nearly as much as he does. Man.
Yeah, he really works it. All right, but I can tell you that... I can tell you who's worried about the end of the world. John Cusack. Because apparently it's happening to him in this movie. But... the other people who are worried about the end of the world, who you might not expect...
who aren't getting paid for it.
NASA. Because they have felt strongly... they've gotten enough questions about this 2012 BS to actually address them.
You mean like actual NASA, not Roland Emmerich NASA?
Not Roland Emmerich NASA. Actual NASA has gotten enough communication asking them questions about this 2012 stuff that they felt the need to come out and respond.
Okay, here's question one.
Ask.
Why would you ask NASA?
Well, here's the thing about the idea about the end of the world.
This is what I'm curious about. Forth is there a specific...
in the 2012 BS. There's an idea. I don't really know where this idea comes from, because it's... I don't think it's factually correct, but whatever. That the Mayans... found a planet beyond Pluto. That would come as a big surprise to the Mayans, who did not even find Pluto. That actually, you know, Pluto was discovered in the 40s or 50s by a dude in Nevada or New Mexico.
To defend the sort of New Age bullshit wackos who were then going to viciously attack because they're dumb.
Yeah.
They never said the Mayans found Pluto. That's true. A planet beyond Pluto.
Planet... X, I think. I don't remember the name of the planet. There's also a fake name that goes along with it.
Myuknuk.
Yeah.
Probably Myuknuk.
Which somehow Planet X thus far has managed to avoid detection.
Get away from science. Because it's cosmic. It's not about science. And I like how I said cosmic. Happens, cosmic is different.
Here's
from
what
science.
Happens on December 21st, 2012.
I'm listening.
The planet Earth lines up with the sun. In alignment with the center of our galaxy.
Wait, what?
The planet
Earth. What
does
Nyuk-Nyuk, what does our fake planet have to do
with
this?
Well, that comes along later. Somehow that creates an imbalance. Okay, the lining up of the planet Earth, the sun in the center of the universe, creates some sort of gravitational ripple or change, which causes the planet X to fly directly on a collision course with the Earth.
Oh.
Yeah, that's bad. Here's the problem, though, of course, is that...
Well, I mean, there's several problems. One is I'm too young to die.
Yeah.
That's a problem. Two is that's crazy bullshit.
Every December 21st or 22nd, depending on the equinox, or solstice, sorry, the Earth lines up with the sun, which lines up with the center of the... It's a straight line from us through the sun to the center of the galaxy. That's kind of how, you know, the seasons work. Who knew?
I'll admit, I actually was not aware. I mean, obviously, this line, the sun and the Earth, that's kind of a gimme. I was not aware of the whole center of the galaxy part.
Yeah, it's just just where it happens to fall. Hooray.
All right, then.
Yeah, doesn't really make a big difference, though. Yeah. And you know, the second problem is, of course, that this Planet X thing doesn't exist. We would have Newton would have calculated its existence, you know, 600 years ago or whatever. And he didn't, so.
Yeah, whatever. He also wasn't able to successfully alchemy either. Yeah. He's kind of a failure, really, when you get down to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he was, I don't know why yeah, people are
he had
so.
Some, you know, whatever, gravity, but he could not turn lead into gold. He could not divine the secrets of God using the methods of alchemy. And he didn't even find Planet X or Myuk Myuk or whatever the hell we're calling it right now.
You called it Myuk Myuk.
I did.
I made no Myuk Myuk claims. And if you're going to go by movies telling you about what's going to happen in the future, in 2012, we all know, Will Smith's going to be running around fighting vampire critters, because that's when I Am Legend takes place.
And also we find the second obelisk on Europa, is it? I don't know. I haven't...
It's been a while.
Yeah.
The 2000...
But honestly, none of this stuff matters, because I think Free Jack happened in, like, 1997.
Yeah, it doesn't.
So we're in that world, and Keith Richards is something-something virtual reality, or Mick Jagger. I don't know. It's been a long time since I watched Free Jack. Which Rolling Stone is in Free Jack? It's Jagger, right? I was wrong.
I
said Keith Richards.
It is Jagger, yeah. It's... Yeah, you're right. I had to think back.
Yeah.
I was thinking, wait, is Free Jack the one with Gene Simmons? What's the movie that Gene Simmons... Isn't Gene Simmons in a movie with robot spiders? I'm pretty sure there's a Gene Simmons movie with robot spiders.
I don't know.
I'm going to find out.
I try to ignore most
Look
parts
out.
Of the culture that have Gene Simmons in them.
Here it comes.
As a rule, but I believe you that
I'm
it exists.
I'm going to figure it out eventually. Once I figure it out, I'm going to totally tell you, and you're going to be like, oh... And that's it.
I may or may not be like, oh.
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 Okay, I could be completely wrong here.
Okay, let's leave it for a break then. Let's leave that deep dive into research, into KISS research.
Oh, man, I just messed that up.
Chuck.
I'm wondering who was in that movie now.
You know, I hate to tell you, Chuck.
Yeah.
You are, at best, a sub-amateur KISS historian.
Tell me about it.
Your grasp on KISS-tory is weak.
I don't really, I'm not a kissy guy, but, I was totally right. It's Runaway. It is Runaway, which is a 1984 science fiction action film with Tom Selleck, Gene Simmons, and the lovely and famous Cynthia Rhodes.
Okay, then.
Who I may
remember from such films as nothing.
Yeah, the tagline for Runaway, it is the future. Machines intended to do our work are programmed to turn against us. Someone must stop the madman who started it all. And I think that madman is Gene Simmons.
Okay, yeah. He seems like the kind of guy who'd get really good at programming computers. I don't know.
I can't do a
Gene Simmons
impersonation, or I would right now.
Yeah, no, Gene Simmons isn't... He's not entertaining to impersonate.
I think he is.
I don't know.
He just
the things
all he
says
is,
are ridiculous. But
yeah, all he does is talk about
his voice isn't ridiculous.
You gotta
how he makes
talk
a lot of money,
low,
and...
smooth voice, and he'll talk about how KISS revolutionized everything and how you should buy all this KISS merchandise.
Yeah, pretty much. But
you have a KISS coffin.
Yeah. Anyhow, moving back a little bit to one thing you said, I'm curious. This is a question I have for you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think KISS would have been much less popular if instead of calling their fans the KISS Army, they had decided they should call them Kissy Guys?
Kissy Men. Yeah, or Kissy Faces. That would have... Yeah, I don't think that would... I'm surprised KISS Army worked, honestly. That doesn't really sound that threatening either. Like, oh no, the KISS Army! I might develop a cold sore or chapped lips. Anything is possible against the KISS Army. What were we talking about? 2012, yeah.
Yeah.
So, that's not happening, people. Look, I don't... If you're listening to the show and you think the world's going to end in 2012, stop listening to the show. Because we don't want your fandom. We don't want your fandom. We want people who don't believe the world is going to end in 2012.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're kicking out the zero people who listen to the show, and we're splitting them into groups and...
Yeah, and discriminating against
discriminating
them and being mad at them.
The nobody...
It's a good idea.
...listens to
good
the show
idea.
And believes that the world will end in 2012.
Yeah, the
but
whole,
Dave, you had a feeling about this? You
want to yeah, share? No, to me, the whole 2012 thing reminds me a lot of the sort of Y2K thing. Mm-hmm. Although that was way more overblown. Although we'll see in 2012, if actual 2012, if things get that silly.
That's true.
They won't get quite that silly.
We have to be proven wrong.
I think they won't get quite that silly just because the Y2K thing had more basis in that it was based on an actual existing thing.
Here's the other thing. But, the movie will come and go out of theaters. No one will think
and then most
of it.
People will forget about it.
By January, no one will care.
That's true, because it's not a pop culture phenomenon so much. Well, except when, you know, Roland Emmerich is blowing up landmarks. It's less of a pop culture phenomenon and more just like a new age, like, nutzoid thing.
Yeah, if you could even call it that. I mean, I don't know. I guess you can call it that. It's got Mayans in it.
It's about the planets.
Ancient and the wisdom of the ancient people.
Basically, if it's about the planets and alignment of the planets.
And the wisdom of
but
ancient
it doesn't
peoples.
Make sense, then I call it New Age.
And the
that
wisdom of
better.
Ancient peoples.
Of course.
Throw that in there.
Ancient peoples are full of wisdom.
Yeah, they are.
That's why they died.
Well, that was the
Well, no, they died because they were full of smallpox, but.
Yeah, they got diseases. Well, do we know why the Mayans died? I thought we were still kind of confused on that.
Probably because they got old.
Maybe their 2012 already happened.
Whoa.
They didn't know because they were all like, you're ridiculous. We know the world's not going to end.
And then it caught them by surprise.
For them. But I'm willing to bet that at the end of 2012, the world doesn't really end.
Well,
John
no.
Cusack survives, probably.
Yeah,
or he dies
likely.
Making sure somebody else survives.
Making sure his chillins survive.
Yeah.
But
I gotta look it up and spoil it.
Eh.
Spoil a crappy movie for everybody.
I don't care. I don't care enough to take the time to do that. You can do it during a break if you really want to. But anyhow, like the reason this reminds me in some senses of the Y2K thing is because, you know, basically in both cases you take a thing, you know, in the Y2K thing it was, you know, a computer bug that existed. And then in this whole 2012 nonsense it's, you know, the Mayan calendar. Which does have a thing in it, like a certain period that ends and begins. Like, I forget what it's called because I'm not a Mayan calendar scholar and
You should
such.
Be.
It's not my ballywick.
All right,
it's not
well,
part of my thing.
Stick it up your
but
ballywick.
In both cases, there's an actual thing.
I'll tell you, personally, my feelings on Mayan calendarology.
Okay, go for
I'm
it.
I'm three dicks deep in that shit.
That's fair. Okay. Anyhow, so, you know, it takes that actual grain. Then people who don't quite understand that grain build crazy theories around it. So you get, you know, from the fact that, you know, okay, the Mayan calendar has a period which ends on this date. You get, you know, planet X is in alignment with, you know, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, for Y2K, you got, you know, okay, because there's this two-digit bug, planes will fall out of the sky. What?
Yeah.
You know, that's not how that would work. But, you know, once people get that, then those people sort of, who have sort of laid out their crazy theories,
mm-hmm.
present themselves and present their theories as if they know what they're talking about. And then people who are paying half attention, you know, buy canned goods.
Canned goods are always a good idea, though.
And they don't
that's
go bad.
That's how you survive a zombie apocalypse.
They don't go bad.
Usually. Well, it doesn't
well,
really
they don't go
matter.
It takes
Dave.
A while.
It doesn't really matter anymore. Look, Mayans, you can, you know, stick them in your pipe and smoke them. Because
that
2012 will be the end of the world for a completely different reason.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Non-Mayan reason?
Well, here's what my information tells me. The year 2008 marked the last of God's warnings to mankind. And the beginning in a countdown of the final 3.5 years of man's self-rule that will end by May 27, 2012. This is according to www.the-end.com.
Oh.
Which is succinct.
That is a punchy URL.
What you didn't know.
I'm jealous. That's a great URL.
What you didn't know last year was that on December 14, 2008, the first trumpet of the seventh seal of the Book of Revelation sounded. And that announced the beginning collapse of the economy of the United States and great destruction that will follow.
Which is interesting given that the most of the economic collapse stuff had already happened, but continue.
The next three trumpets will result in the total collapse of the United States. And once the fifth trumpet sounds, the world will be thrust into World War III. They are not, there's no calendar on the site as to when the trumpets are sounding. And it's interesting because I didn't hear them. So.
No, but you know what? Honestly, I have a certain respect for the gentleman or lady, probably gentleman,
let's be honest.
Who put this thing together. And I'll tell you why. Because I think what's gone away in a lot of sort of Christian apocalypse, you know, literature and prediction is people setting good hard dates.
Yeah, good hard dates are important.
Like it used to be, I mean, even, you know, back in the very beginning, you know, Jesus had pretty much said, you know, don't have kids because the apocalypse is going to come before, yeah. You know, so it's pointless. Then people just kind of started ignoring that when it didn't happen. Yeah, but since then, there's been a pretty steady stream of dates for the apocalypse that have, you know, that God's been tardy on. So now I think, you know, you're like left behind people, you know, that whole, you know, rapture, kind of rapture happy Christians generally don't give you a good solid date anymore, you know? Mm-hmm. And I like that this guy thinks God is that dependable, you know? I like that he's gotten his date and he's going to stick by it. And then it's going to pass, and he's going to have to do something.
You got to respect that to a degree. And over time, you know, there's that, well, hey, this shit didn't happen, and stuff's not coming true, so let's just adjust our views, right? But you'd think they would also keep up with biblical scholars. And biblical scholars will tell you that the Book of Revelation was written by a crazy guy on an island who was not John the Apostle. And who probably was just a crazy guy on an island. But the crazy guy sent the papers to some church, and the church has decided that that was the divine work of God. So, I mean, maybe crazy people on islands are not the best sources of information.
Well, here's the problem. Here's why, you know, if you're a good, you know, apocalypse-oriented Christian, you don't listen to a biblical scholar on this mm-hmm. sort of thing. You see, there's two words in the phrase biblical scholar.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is biblical,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, your, you know, apocalypse Christians are, you know, for generally, I'm going to mm-hmm. say. They're pro-biblical. You get into some trouble, though, on the next word, which is scholar. Not keen on scholasticism.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting. I guess. Actually, that's not that really that interesting.
No, basically.
But I mean, if you're crazy and you're going to pick a date for the end of the world, just pick. I mean, go with it and stick with it. And a trip in junior high school, which it had to be, let's see, 92. I was told that the world was going to end on October 28th of 1992.
Oh, really?
It did not.
Wait, where was this a trip to?
It was Washington, D.C. I was outside of the Smithsonian Museums. There were an Asian gentleman with a megaphone and a few other Asian folks around him. He had a deep accent as well, which made it kind of funny for me to listen to him. But he had a megaphone in a van, and he was preaching it up that the world was going to end.
Was it an unmarked van?
No, I think the van said, you know, had scriptures written on it and said October 28th in big numbers. You know, I think he was more interested in the yelling of October 28th over and over again.
Got it.
Than he was of molesting children.
Okay.
And he would say, October 28th, don't fool God, don't fool yourself. And I was like, how am I going to fool God? If he exists and he's all you say he is, pretty much impossible for me to fool them. So I don't know why he was telling me not to.
I know. I mean, they say he's omnipotent and omniscient, but I've never heard anyone say that he's all that clever.
Oh, that's true. He knows stuff as it happens, but his omniscience does not extend into the future, which kind of negates his omnipotence. Of course, omniscience negates omnipotence in the first place, so we could talk about that another day. For now, let's talk about how we're going to take a break and come back with more I'm trying to think. How does that sound to you, Dave?
Good.
strangest woman. Believe me, this chick's no cinch, but I really get her going when I take out my big 10-inch record of the band that plays the blues. The band that plays the blues. She just loves my big 10-inch record of her favorite blues.
The Foundation Institute. I'm three dicks deep in it. And welcome back again to episode 21 of I'm Trying to Think with Chuck Warner and Dave Stern. And a special revisitation of a previous comment from a previous episode, which is last episode. And the comment was, I don't really know anything about Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah, so as you recall, we were kind of having a little debate in terms of inventing our sort of, you know, tween-oriented voodoo mummy-based franchise.
Yeah.
Of whether
and
we
if
should...
If you don't remember that, then you didn't listen to the last episode.
Yeah.
And, well, now you're really confused.
Yeah, because continuity is important in this show, clearly, when we remember things, which is occasionally. But anyhow, so when we're talking about our voodoo mummy tween-oriented, you know, movie, book, you know, Tiger Beat Centerfold, Tiger. What have you, crossover franchise. One of the sort of debates we had that we didn't quite resolve, although I think we might have, but basically it was whether, you know, in the same way that Twilight is a little bit towards a medium amount Mormon-y,
mm-hmm.
whether we wanted to get ahead on that, whether the best way would be to make ours sort of a post-religion thing where they just have no religious sexual morals and get it on like crazy and are gay, which is, I think, the direction we went into. Or the other thought we had had was to make them America's other incredibly fast-growing religion, Jehovah's Witnesses.
Right.
Which I think we had decided against. The reason we went with the sort of gay sexual libertine voodoo mummy thing was mostly because we didn't know what Jehovah's Witness means.
That's partly that,
we didn't
yeah.
know what that was.
But as luck would have it, and perhaps by divine intervention, no, probably not. A Jehovah's Witness or two Jehovah's Witnesses visited my house.
Yeah,
this
it's
week.
Twos, right? It's groups of twos.
Yeah,
generally.
And I have a copy of The Watchtower, November 2009. So this is up to date information, November 1st, 2009.
Good. There's nothing I'd hate more than us having a shitty old Watchtower.
Now, as it would happen, the issue is titled "Exposed: Six Myths About Christianity."
Ooh, that sounds shocking.
What I'm going to surprise you further is, Dave, I've read all these. I now kind of know where Jehovah's Witnesses are coming from. And I agree wholeheartedly with five of their six facts, their rebuttals to these six myths. And the sixth one I mostly agree with.
Really?
Yeah. That is mind-blowing to you, but you'll learn quickly. So these myths will help us understand what the Jehovah's Witnesses believe, and you'll realize that the reason you don't really know what Jehovah's Witnesses believe is because it's not as crazy as what Mormons believe, so therefore it is not funny.
Right.
So it's not worth really making fun of their dogma.
So does that mean there's not a part where a convicted fraud diviner finds magic golden tablets?
Not in this issue of the Watchtower, so, you know.
Aw, bummer.
Yeah. All right. Myth number one about Christianity, Dave. Or in Christianity, perhaps. I don't really know what, you know, who knows. It's not
really sure where they're going. One or the other. Yeah.
The soul is immortal. Nope. Jehovah's Witnesses do not believe in an immortal soul. They just believe that, kind of, that people are just going to be made immortal. I don't know what they do with the dead people. They didn't really get into that part. But their fact at the bottom of the page of the soul is immortal as a myth.
Right.
Fact. At death, a person ceases to exist. I agree.
Yeah.
100%.
That's pretty fair.
I agree.
I mean,
a person in as much as the functioning entity ceases to exist.
Yeah,
the idea
that's
of the
fair.
Person obviously lives on, et cetera, et cetera. But
yeah, their meaning,
fact,
the lives they touch,
at
you know,
death,
et cetera.
A person ceases to exist. Agree.
Okay, yeah. Point Jehovah's. Point Jehovah's.
Myth two. The wicked suffer in hell. Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe in hell. They actually almost kind of don't believe in heaven either. They just believe that everybody's going to live forever on earth at some point.
Right.
So, no heaven, no hell. Fact, God does not punish people in hell. I agree.
Yep, so far the Jehovah's Witnesses are 2 for 2.
2 for 2, I agree. Of course, the problem there is that...
No, I think we both have the same central problem, but let's keep going through these. Let's keep going,
all right.
Then I think we can come back to the central problem. Come back to it, yeah.
Myth 3, all good people go to heaven. Myth, because they don't really believe that most people are going to go to heaven. They seem to believe only a few people go to heaven, mostly like the disciples and other sort of very close people. Everybody else lives on earth forever.
Right. So what's their fact there?
Fact. The majority of good people will live forever on earth, not in heaven.
Yeah. Let's skip that one. I'm not giving them a 2 for... They're 2 for 3 now. I'm going to... Because that comes back to, again, the central thesis of Jehovah's Witnessism that I'm not on board with.
Now, if they had just said, the majority of good people will not live in heaven...
Then I'm on board.
I'm on board.
I would say that majority is 100%.
God is a trinity. You know, they're going after Trinitarianism, Catholic dogma, blah, blah, blah. Fact, the Trinitarian dogma is a late 4th century invention. I agree.
That is historically true.
That is historically accurate. Myth 5, Mary is the mother of God. No, because if you don't have a trinity, then Jesus isn't God. He's the son of God. But Mary is not the mother of God.
Yeah,
because so, that doesn't necessarily...
Fair enough.
But fact, Mary was the mother of the Son of God, not of God himself. The Trinity myth gave birth to the worship of Mary as the mother of God. I agree. In the context of, you know...
Yeah, that's half true, the part about the Trinity myth. Yeah, that's why that worship exists.
Yeah, and...
The first part, because it mentions the Son of God.
I'm going to agree with it.
I can't get on board.
I'm going to agree with it, trust me. At the end, we'll go back and visit fact number 5.
Okay.
Myth 6. God approves of the use of images and icons in worship. This is pretty clear from the Ten Commandments that he does not, but whatever. Fact, God does not approve of the use of images and icons. Again, I'm going to agree here, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, given now, that there the is a God part. And he's roughly right. about the Bible, the Ten Commandments seem pretty fucking clear.
Right. Now, here's the thing about the myths.
I mean, that's why you also don't want to covet a neighbor's ass.
Yeah, a neighbor's asses are out of the question. Those are the 6 myths, the 6 facts. I agree with all 6 facts except the majority of good people will live forever on earth, not in heaven.
Yeah, which seems to be a central... That seems to be the sort of central premise that leads them to these conclusions, which I agree with.
Now, let me ask you about this. Let me go to a side point, and I'll show you why the other facts I agree with. Okay, Dave.
Yeah.
Fact. Upon finding Romeo apparently dead, Juliet kills herself. Fact.
Oh, this is some Bertrand Russell shit you're throwing at me.
I'm just saying.
You're throwing some Bertrand Russell shit.
Is that a fact?
Unicorns. Oh.
It's a fact consistent with a constructed story.
Yes, in the story.
Same saying as
of
like
Romeo and Juliet.
Fact
in William Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet.
Right. Fact: Athena is the daughter of Zeus. Fact. In the stories, Athena is the daughter of Zeus.
Yeah, again, this is straight up, kids.
So,
all you kids out there, read your Bertrand Russell, The Beginnings of Analytic Philosophy, How You Use Language to Make Sense.
That's right.
That's what Chuck is, you know, what the hell, yeah, Chuck is 3 dicks deep into that right
now. That's right, I'm 3 dicks deep in that. Fact, God does not approve of the uses of images and icons. The character very clearly says in the fictional book of the Bible that he does not approve of icon worship. He's pretty clear on that.
Yep.
Fact, Mary is the mother of the Son of God, not of God himself. I agree. In the story, I think that's pretty clear. And what was the other one? Fact, God does not punish people in hell. I mean, that's a twofer, because...
I agree with that. On several levels.
Because God can't punish anybody, because it's not a really existent entity. And two, he doesn't punish people in hell, because hell is not in the Bible. Good luck finding it. And that's my Watchtower review, November for the November issue. Yeah, I'm waiting for December. We'll see.
Did you subscribe?
I don't know if it's bi-monthly.
Can you
I don't
subscribe?
Think if I could subscribe, I would. I
can
don't
you subscribe
know.
Without I'm, being a Jehovah's Witness?
I need to look on the internet if I can subscribe. This is quality entertainment for me every month. I would really have a hard time turning that down. There's some great sections in the back. I love the section about how, you know, a wife should behave in a marriage. That was fun because they really, really tried to put liberal language on it, and in the end are just basically saying...
Submit.
Submit, yeah. But they're like, no, you just submit so that you're happy and that everybody's happy. Because that's just the... Yeah. It's not that you're inferior. That's not what we're saying.
No.
Because
that would be bad. No.
No, this is the best part. This is the other... best part, the other best part, if you will, of the
Man,
Watchtower.
This is just a packed magazine.
The Bible Changes Lives in the back. It's got little people profiles, and it's got stories, but I'm not going to read stories. I'm just going to go over my favorite part. They profile the person here. Dave, you can see they've got his picture here over on the left.
Yeah.
They've got his, this is from his rebellious youth picture on the right.
Yeah, he's got
He
long,
looks like he's in Led Zeppelin there.
He's a little bit of a hippie. He's,
you know, name, age, country of origin. What I like is that each, also in the quick profile here, you get a history. And the history is bad. Mm-hmm. It's bad, Dave. These are people who needed God in their life. Terrence J. O'Brien's history, experimented with drugs, loved motorcycles.
That's no good.
That is against God's plan.
If God wanted us to have motorcycles, he'd have made them grow from trees.
Yeah. Masahiro Okobayashi, his history, gambler.
Ooh,
look at him when he was young, long hair again. He's given the peace symbol.
Man.
That's no good.
Are there any Jehovah's Witnesses who weren't hippies 30 years ago?
But Dave, Elizabeth Jane Schofield here, you can see her. She's 35.
Right.
Attractive young lady. History, lived for the weekends. Lived for the weekends.
Was she a member of Loverboy?
I don't know if she was in Loverboy or not. Loverboy, they worked for the weekends. She lived for the weekends. And obviously there's a borderline there because we all know Loverboy...
Are not Jehovah's Witnesses.
...are fine with Jehovah's Witnesses. I got this other book. Like, this is the fun part. The Watchtower was tucked into this other booklet, which was called Awake. And it's got Technology Blessing or Curse, but I haven't read that yet. I'm really intrigued...
I'm crossing my finger for blessing.
Crossing the fingers. I'm really intrigued. I'm going to have to find out. They've got also the Bible's viewpoint. Is it possible to love one's enemies? Pretty clearly it is. The Jesus guy says to. The God guy's not too clear on it. He's killing them left and right.
He's more of a smiter.
He is a smiter.
Are you a lover or a smiter?
And if you don't believe in Trinitarianism, then they aren't the same dude. So you do have to kind of wonder.
Yeah, it's an article. It's a question worth raising, I guess.
See God's name in Denmark. There you go. That's something. I don't know what that is. And healthy mothers, healthy babies. I don't know. But it's Awake magazine is what they use, I guess, to hide the Watchtower. Because nobody wants to take a Watchtower. But Awake sounds like a good thing. Awake magazine.
But I mean... You know they're Jehovah's Witnesses.
They come to your door
and they tell you, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I don't think they're going to be able to sneak you the Watchtower. I think you know it's in there, don't you?
You gotta know. But it's a fun book. The thing is if, I mean, I don't know why Jehovah's Witnesses bother people. Because here's the experience. And this is the experience. I wasn't home when the Jehovah's Witnesses came this week. My wife was. She had the same experience I do with Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons. They come to the door. They ask you about your religion. You say, I'm an atheist. And their eyes glaze over. They have no idea. They've got nothing. They're just like, wait, you don't believe in God? Nope. So do you believe in Satan? Nope. And they just don't know where to go from there. It's perplexing to them. Because most of them come from religious backgrounds and they just switch from one religion to Jehovah's Witness. But, like, one Christian religion to Jehovah's.
Right.
You don't get a lot of, I was a Muslim, and this Jehovah's Witness and stuff was, it was great.
Not many Jehovah's Witnesses.
Not too many Jehovah's Witnesses from what I know. Yeah, the Jews for Jesus usually are more Jew than they are Jesus. Well, that just goes without saying. Anyways, so that's my Watchtower thing. Now we know a little more about the Jehovah's Witnesses. They're basically Christians that just strangle all the fun out of it.
So, my question
No hell. Then, I mean, that, if I were a Christian, hell would be like a party for me. I would tell everybody about all the awful things that were going to happen to them.
Well, yeah, that's how it rolls.
I would try mostly to kind of explain how heaven was a place of bliss, but a place where you still knew that there were people in hell, but you were still okay with it because it was blissful.
No, that's part of, like, a lot of medieval doctrine. Like, I want to say this was Aquinas. I don't remember if it was him.
He had some things to say about that, yeah.
No, there's, like, hell is, that's part, the best part of heaven is the spectator sport of hell. Like,
yeah.
Apparently heaven is, like, you watch your neighbor who stole your cow get his intestines ripped out his anus.
You gotta imagine that gets old after a while, though.
Demons in hell are creative, man.
Yeah.
It's like what, you know, it's like,
it's like watching the Saw movies. They just don't stop. They get it, you know.
I would assume it's like MASH. I mean, yeah, it ran for like 20 seasons, but you know, it was pretty good throughout the whole thing. They kept it fresh.
So you're saying it would be like MASH, but that guy who stole your donkey would be like Alan Alda. So he's with the show the whole run.
Yeah, he gives it its sort of, I guess not moral center, but it's intestinal center.
Yeah.
But there's a lot, there's like a really good rotating cast around it. They tackle a lot of serious issues. And let's be honest, hell really makes you think about the Korean War.
Yeah, it does.
And, you know, Vietnam through the Korean War, you know, using the Korean War as a metaphor.
Yeah, I mean, the Korean War as a stand-in, if you will.
Yeah, yeah.
A direct stand-in.
Kind of. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was enlightening.
Okay.
So hell is MASH.
Pretty much.
I'm just surprised that Sartre did not think of that one. What are you going to do?
I was going to say, throw this out there. I haven't developed it that well, so I don't have many thoughts to go with it, but is Purgatory after MASH?
Probably. Actually, if either of those was going to be hell, it would be after MASH. All right, well, thank you for tuning in to episode 21 of I'm Trying to Think. Dave, you have any notes that you'd like to share with the audience before we go out?
I think we got it. I think we got this in the bag, in the bank.
contact@imtryingtothink.com.
Email.
Email us. Let us know something. I mean,
we don't have enough email in our lives, God knows.
If you learned something about Jehovah's Witnesses, email us. If you didn't, email us.
Well, there you go. Now everyone has to email us. You've covered the two cases that are possible.
That's right. Don't try and fall outside those two. We know, we understand logic. We know that there's only two possibilities here. So don't mess with us. All right. And we'll be back next week with episode 22, which will have a lot of twos in it.
It's the double deuce.
Yeah, more, twice as many twos as episode 2. And episode 20 and 21. Twice as many twos as either of those two.
Infinitely more twos than episode 17.
Divide by zero error twos than episode. Anyways. All right.
Okay, just play us out. We're done.
We are so done.